going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is the long-tail mud motor. The Send It Jumbos podcast starts right now. Hello and welcome. Welcome and hello. We're going to be going over one of my really popular YouTube videos, the Mud Motor Review of 2021. I did post this in late 2021 because I spent a pretty good portion of the year filming it. But in this particular video, the one that we're going to talk about, I reviewed the top three Thailand-style long-tail mud motors. And those three brands are the Swamp Runner, the Mud Skipper, and the Beaver Dam. This video has a whopping 232,000 views and 509 comments. What we're going to do is I don't get a chance to go through all my YouTube comments and answer them directly. So that's why we do this podcast, so I can sit down, go through some of the most important questions and comments and address them here on the podcast. Hopefully the answers to some of these questions will give you some good information and some insight as to what you might want to know about long tails. And before we jump into the comments and start answering some questions, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this podcast. That is going to be TTP Outdoors. And no, Scooter, TTP does not stand for teeny tiny popcorn. And no, Kevin, TTP does not stand for Twinkies, Twinkies, and Pickles. TTP stands for Twitch, Twitch, Pause, and they are a super awesome American clothing company that makes some nice stuff that I'm actually wearing tonight because I actually remember to wear it for once. They make really awesome fishing gear. Absolutely love it. It's super comfortable. It's got that like very soft feel to it, almost like silk, but it's not silk. All the shirts that I've gotten from them, it's super comfortable. They got some really cool hats, more hats here, in all kinds of different patterns. They even have an old school Bottomland hat that matches my boat. And they make a Bottomland shirt, which also matches my boat. And I really like that. They have a lot of variety of sun shirts that are UPF rated. I can't remember how the rating scale goes. I think it's like zero to ginger. So if you have a skin tone that looks like Dale Earnhardt Jr. or a Carrot Top, wear these shirts and keep you from getting sunburned out there in the blazing hot heat while you are fishing. But not only do they make super awesome fishing clothing, they also have a coupon code for you guys. If you want to check that out, it is down in the description box below. And if you're watching this on YouTube, it's right in here in the bottom of this screen. You can use that coupon code and get 10% off your checkout at TTP Outdoors. Now, before I jump into the comments on this video, I want to give a just upfront disclaimer about the way this review was done. In my late 20s, I decided that the long tail mud motor was something I wanted to explore because it was cheap. It was literally at the time the cheapest way to get a gasoline powered motor on the back of my John boat and get me up the river. The kits were cheap. The motors you get them from Harbor Freight, they were super cheap. And that was my driving force behind going to a long tail. I didn't have any other reason for needing a long tail. The places that I fish that are near me are very, very shallow rivers and some small reservoirs and lakes and stuff like that. Where I spend most of my time fishing, or at least when I started messing around with mud motors, is a very shallow river. And I say very shallow, these long straightaways that are a mile, 2 miles long sometimes. In the drought season, they would have inches of water. And most of the time it was like 2-3 inches of water, like hardly enough to float a kayak sometimes, because that's what I did before I got into John boats, is I was a kayak bass fisherman. Please don't judge me, but that's what I did for a long time. And then I got first John boat and I wanted a way to be able to get out on the water. I wanted to do it cheaply. And the long tail was the best option for me, not only because of the price, but also because I could get into extremely shallow water and get up to those places where I wanted to fish at in those deeper holes in the bends. Man, I didn't have to worry about having enough water to cool down an outboard. And electric outboards weren't a thing at the time. Now, my 20s were a long time ago, and I had both of those mud motors for a very long time, until I finally sold the boat and moved on into bigger boats and bigger long tails. And then many years later, started doing YouTube and I decided to do this video. Now the two mud motors, the long tail mud motors that I had were both Beaver Dam. And both of them were 212 style Predator engines. Before then they weren't called the Predator, they were called something else. I can't remember the name of it. But I did have one that was a clone Honda. It was like a no-name clone. And then the other one was actually the Harbor Freight version of the Predator. It may have been called the Predator at the time. I don't remember right off the top of my head. They were very small motors. I didn't have the big 420s, a 670, and all the stuff like I have now. And once I started doing YouTube and I decided to get into a little bit bigger mud motors, one of the first things that I decided that I wanted to do was a review video in all of the different kits and the different brands, because there's not a whole lot of really good firsthand information on the internet about the difference in the kits, and also which one's better than the other, which one's better suited for certain things, which one's got a better build quality. The only stuff that was able to find on the internet was all sponsored reviews, or what I felt like people had either been given free stuff or had been paid to say certain things about certain mud motor brands. And that's all fine and good. That's the world of advertising as it is. Just kind of have to read reviews with a grain of salt and hope that the people that are doing the review are telling you the truth, or at least if they got something for free or they were paid to do an advertising video, they would tell you that up front. Most of them don't, but that's just the way the world works. In this particular review video that we're going over today and answering all these questions, I was never paid by any of the companies. I bought all the motors from Harbor Freight with my own money. I wish Harbor Freight would sponsor me as much tools and engines and stuff as I buy from them, but I didn't get any money or any sponsorship or anything from Harbor Freight, and I didn't get anything from any of these mud motor companies until after I did this video review. Once I did this video review, two of the three companies that we're going to talk about reached out to me and asked me to do more reviews and things like that. And if I got free stuff, I told you guys on video, I got free stuff. But if you watch the YouTube channel, you know that free stuff doesn't mean anything to me. You send me something for free, and I tell people, you know, when they reach out to me to do review videos, I'm going to abuse the hell out of it. I'm going to do everything I can to break. Because if you give me something, it has no monetary value to me. I didn't spend my money on it, so I want to see what I can put it through. And that's what people on YouTube want to see. They want to see an honest review. Even if they give me something for free, they want me to honestly put it through its paces and use it and abuse it and see how well it holds up and if it's worth for other people to spend their money on. That's the way my YouTube channel has always been, and it will always continue to be that way. I don't care how much money people throw at me trying to get me to do reviews or swing things in a certain way or make advertising videos. I'm not going to do that. I mean, to me, that's the whole fun part of it, is to go out and, you know, use stuff and find out if it's really worth its weight and, you know, what they ask you to pay for it, you know, and see what kind of abuse stuff can hold up to. So that's my little spiel about the mud motor review video. I didn't get paid by anybody. I wasn't, you know, this was all my money and my opinion on the kits and the way that the video turned out. If you haven't seen the video, I'll give you the brief rundown. It was a very simple, went through all the mud motors, weighed them all, measured all the different parts, showed you the differences between all the kits and what you can get with them, went through the pricing and all that kind of good stuff. At the end of the day, I said it in the video, they were all good kits. There's nothing wrong with any of them. The one that I preferred over all of them was the Beaver Dam. First couple reasons. It came with more stuff, which I liked. And I think some of the, you know, since I did this review in 2021, some of these companies have changed some things. I probably need to redo this video at some point and get all the new kits and stuff. But at the time, Beaver Dam, and they had more stuff included in the kit, which I liked. To me, it felt like it was a very good quality build. You know, it's like the actual engine bracket itself was a little bit heavier duty. I like the way the shaft was put together. But as far as operation goes, they all ran about the same. I mean, that's the one thing about these long tails, is that the kits are all, you know, from Thailand, and they're all pretty much based off the same design. They have a little bit different way of connecting to the motor and their little coupler systems, but in the grand scheme of things, they're all pretty much the same. I didn't dislike any of the kits. I never talked trash about any of them, and didn't really say any of them were bad. I just liked the Beaver Dam kit, me personally, better. But I left my opinion out of the video until the very, very end and told you this is why I like it. And I didn't really have a whole lot of anything negative to say about any of the long tail kits. It was really just the video. The whole purpose of it was to show you what you get when you buy a kit. Look at them side by side so that you can decide what you like best and which one suits your fancy. I mean, that's what this is all about. I show you, and you pick out what you like best. Me personally, I like the Beaver Dam, and that's what I've, you know, pretty much stuck with. Anyways, enough of my rambling. Let's get into some of these comments and questions and see what everybody had to say. So our first comment was from Chris Funk, the Feral One. By the way, he is a YouTuber. I have actually been watching him for quite a few years. He is a local, not really local to me. He's in South Georgia. He fishes the Okefenokee Swamps and a lot of places down in South Georgia that have a lot of boat fin and some really awesome fishing down there. He's got a great YouTube channel if you like watching fishing content. He's definitely somebody I would check out. But Chris said, great job, sir. Love the side-by-side comparisons for sure. I was a bit lost on the shorter key part. My 13 Predator key fit the Swamp Runner medium kit without modification. Also, I totally agreed Swamp Runner dropped the ball on the kill switch. Ended up wiring a four-wheeler kill switch mounted perfectly on handle, but still, it should have come from the factory like that to me. I upgraded to the Saltwater Extreme Shaft with the Bayou bushing, so my kit came into about 745 ships. So if that helps anyone wondering, I did order the 8.5-inch stainless prop. I will carry the aluminum props for spares. I really like the way the Beaver Dam mounts to the motor. Making sure the Swamp Runner long shaft was seated properly was my biggest issue on installation. Keep shooting, I'll keep watching. So thank you, Chris, for the comments. You have a lot of good stuff I can discuss here. First up, he talked about the shorter key. I did have one that I had to do a little bit of key modification to, and the key that we're talking about is the crankshaft key that goes into the keyway on the crankshaft to make the mud motor kit adapt to the crankshaft on the Predator motors. That could have totally been a fluke. I probably should have gotten a little bit of a shorter key, but it wasn't a big deal to modify. That I showed it in the video, so it's not something that would ever stop me from buying the Swamp Runner kit just because of that key situation. And again, you know, when you now that I've been in the boat industry for a while, I understand a little bit more. When you mass produce stuff, and you got people packing a bunch of parts into, you know, one box to send out as a kit, sometimes things get mixed up. It just happens. It's not a big deal. Now, the kill switch, I will have to say, on all of the kits, the kill switch was just meh. None of them were, like, over the top great. But you got to remember, like, these cheap kits are cheap for a reason. They don't have the most high quality of everything in the package. You know, the Beaver Dam kill switch, I really liked the kill switch itself. The only, you know, like kind of thing that I was like, you know, I wish I would have done this a little bit different is, you know, mounting it to an eye bolt through the motor. Again, I know why they did it, because it's a cheap and easy way to add a kill switch to a very simple handle design, but I would like to see something a little bit better in the future. But they all work. There was really nothing wrong with them. They're just, you know, they're all plastic and they're small. Something that fit that great. The Beaver Dam one fit good, and I'm still using it. Like, I still have the Beaver Dam long tail kit on one of my motors in the back where my boat is, and it's been sitting out in the sun, and it hasn't really degraded. It still works just fine. Now, one thing I will say, if anybody that is watching this video that owns a mud motor company, any of these that I'm talking about, or any mud motor company, period, include a good lanyard with your kill switch. All the ones that come from all of the mud motor companies are just kind of janky. There's like a piece of rope tied together. I order some, you know, nice, you know, paracord style lanyards from Amazon, and that's, I just keep three or four of them in the boat. You never know when you're going to need them. But that was one thing that I always upgrade on just about every long tail I buy, is an actual, a decent paracord quality lanyard. They usually just come with, you know, most of these mud motor kits just come with that little like plasticky wired coil, you know, whatever that thing is, and they're bright red and they're kind of like bungee. I don't know what you call them, but they're okay. But usually all they have on them is a little clip in the back, and that's fine. But I want a lanyard, you know, especially when you're running a mud motor, you want something that's attached to your hand or your arm, and not something you got to clip onto your vest or clip onto your pants pocket or something like that. So Chris also mentioned upgrading to the Saltwater Extreme shaft and the Bayou bushings. So, and that was, you know, not, and I don't want this to sound like I'm just absolutely smashing Swamp Runner for their kit, but that's one of the things that I don't understand about them as a company, and why they offer what they offer, is you buy the kit. You know, in my mind, when I buy a kit of something, I expect to get, you know, good quality for, you know, what I'm paying. I understand it's cheap, but I expect to get a kit that works good. Mudskipper and Beaver Dam, there wasn't really a whole lot of upgrade options. It was, you buy the kit and you get what you get, and everything was, you know, the best that they had to offer for that price. With Swamp Runner, it was like, well, we're going to sell you this basic kit, but if you want all the good stuff, you're going to have to buy or upgrade to this better saltwater shaft and this better bushing and this, you know, all this other better stuff. And while I don't think that's a bad thing to offer it, I just wish that they like that was a kit. Like if that's what you think that people need, and they think they need a special shaft or special bushing, offer it as a kit, not just as a, you know, an upgrade option. But when you compared the Swamp Runner, you know, the extreme shaft and the saltwater shaft, whatever they call it, against the other two, you know, the Beaver Dam already had a Delrin bushing in it, and it had a brass end cap for the bushing. So it was like, this is already has what the Swamp Runner has, you know, as an upgrade. Like, you have to pay extra to get that with Swamp Runner, and just came on the Beaver Dam. Just my personal opinion, like, why sell a lesser quality product? Just stop selling that, include the good stuff with your kit, and just be done with it. And then Chris also brought up, you know, the aluminum and the stainless steel props. I did another video on stainless steel prop testing, and like, I really like the stainless steel prop. But me personally, like, I don't have a need for it. Like, where I go is mostly mud and pine straw. and leaves and sand. And I have yet to wear out one of my aluminum props. The aluminum props just continue to work good for me. But my biggest selling point in the aluminum props is I can buy 10 or 12 aluminum props and keep them in the boat for the price of one stainless steel prop. And as much as I, you know, have different people in the boat and a different amount of weights, and as much as I change prop sizes, that's kind of important to me to be able to have for the same price, you know, $100 for, you know, $100, $125, whatever they're charging now for a stainless steel prop, I can get 10 or 12 of the aluminum props, and I don't really break them that often. Now, where stainless steel props do come in handy is if you live in a place that has a lot of cypress knees, a lot of hidden stumps that you can't really see, or if you run just nothing but straight sand, like if you're down at the coast and you run in a lot of sandy bottoms, you know, you will wear out an aluminum prop running it in sand all the time, especially if you get stuck a lot. So in those kind of instances, it's not a bad idea to upgrade to a stainless steel prop. For me, where I fish, I just don't really need it. That's why I'm not a huge, you know, you don't see me running around with stainless steel props all the time. So another commenter said, I bought the Swamp Runner kit, just a few more things to add. On my 301 Predator, I had to cut the motor shaft down for the kit to fit, as well as the keyway, like you mentioned. Also, a lot of the extra part on Swamp Runner's website, you have to register your kit to even buy the parts, like they are some special long tail club or something. So that is a very good point. And again, I don't want this video to sound like I am just like stomping a mud hole in Swamp Runner. There, it was a good mud mode. I do agree though that having to register to get access to parts on their website is absolutely stupid. I bought the Swamp Runner kit with my own money and I have a receipt, and I went on their website. This was like 2 or 3 years ago. I went on their website to go order some, like I was really interested in their racing shaft that they sell. And I wanted to try out the racing shaft and the racing props. They were the only people offering it at the time. So I went on their little website, and you get this little thing you fill out and you have to send them your serial number and your receipt. I did. Never heard back from them. Emailed again like 2 months later. Still, never heard anything back. And I went on some of the Mud Motor Facebook groups and saw a lot of complaints of the exact same thing. As a business owner, which I am, I don't see... like the business aspect of it doesn't make sense. Like, you're in business to sell stuff and make money. Why would you limit access to people that want to buy stuff? Like, if they want to buy it, let them buy it. If they do dumb stuff with it, that's on them. Just, it is what it is. If somebody from Swamp Runner is watching this, and I hope they do, get rid of that crap on your website. Like, let us buy the stuff that you want to buy. And if you're going to require, if you're going to make it a requirement that people send in information, like their serial number or receipt or whatever, to get access to these parts, make sure you respond to them, or set up some kind of automated email system that gives them a username and a password, because that really, to be honest with you, pissed me off. I wanted to buy that racing shaft and I wanted to buy the racing props that they had, but I can't get a hold of anybody, and I just gave up. Like, I'm not going to do it. If somebody from Swamp Runner wants to reach out to me and give me access to that stuff, I'd love to, because I want to review it. Like, I want to try it out and see. But yeah, that's just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, if that's how they want to be, that's fine. That's their prerogative as a, you know, American business. They can do that. I just personally don't agree with it. And then back to the first part of his comment, talking about had to cut down the motor shaft for the kit and the keyway. Apparently that's more common than I thought it was. I thought the keyway thing was a mistake, but maybe that's something that you might have to do on some Predator motors. I do know that there's some other kits out there, like the Backwater, that you have to cut down the shaft in order for it to fit. And that scares a lot of people. It's really not that difficult. There's tons of videos on how to cut down a crankshaft on YouTube, or the output shaft of the crankshaft. It's really not that difficult. But it is part of using some of these kits. On my particular Swamp Runner, I didn't have to cut the shaft down. I just had to cut the key down just so that it would fit into the keyway, and then the coupler could slide over the top of it. This is a very common comment. I'm going to read this one in particular. I got quite a few of these. Thanks for making a video, producing an honest comparison. I'm hoping you will soon compare surface drives. That is coming. I have the Mudskipper Featherlight that I'm reviewing. I just got a Twister as well, so I'm going to be reviewing that. But it's not really a surface drive. It's like an in-between a surface drive and a long tail. I also have somebody who's going to let me borrow their Havoc with a gator tail on the back, so I'll be doing a video review on that coming up soon. But yeah, it's funny. I made a video comparing long tails, and one of the most common comments I got is, when are you going to do a short tail or surface drive reviews? I'm like, not what this video is about, but whatever. Anyways, I just wanted to go ahead and address that, because I saw there's quite a few comments that keep popping up, and there was a few comments about the Twister. The Twister is coming very soon. I'm actually just got the feather light surface drive off of my boat. I'm about to put it on a 1436. I'm going to do some reviews, you know, some videoing and testing with it before I put the review video out. But the Twister I bought for my 22 horsepower motor, and it's going to go on the back of my boat, and it's going to live there for a little while I do the review. Don't worry, all that stuff is coming. I know people are waiting on it, but this stuff takes time. I mean, it takes me a lot of time to do video reviews, because not only do I have to, you know, purchase it and document and purchasing it, putting it together, filming the intros, you know, actually filming, putting it together, going through all the instructions, all that kind of stuff, and measuring and weighing, and actually going out and using it, and then finally sitting down to edit the video. When I got hours and hours of videos, I got to cut down and try to make it into an interesting 10 or 15, 20 minute video. It's just, it takes a lot of work, but it's coming. Don't you worry. So another comment here, the Swamp Runner offers the 100 inch saltwater shaft that allows an 18 to 20 horsepower motor to be used on the 13 to 18 horsepower kit. So you can opt for a more versatile kit for the same price as the 18 to 23 option, and you can take it to saltwater without fear. Just me and my opinion here. I know I'm opinionated, but in my opinion, I should be able to take any of the kits out into salt water. They should all, I mean, if you're making a motor or a boat, it should be rated for all water, not just fresh water or not just salt water. It should work in all water. And it doesn't say anything on the Mudskipper site or the Beaver Dam site about don't use this in, you know, in salt water, use this in fresh water only, or at least not that I've seen. And I've used my Mudskipper and I've used my Beaver Dam in salt water and never had any issues. I don't understand. Like, again, I don't want this to be a bashing on certain companies, and I'm certainly not going after Swamp Runner, but that's what the majority of the comments were about in this video, was about Swamp Runner. I know they have a huge cult-like following, and they were huge on the internet before I did this Mud Motor review, but I just don't understand why I have to buy a different kit or spend more money to get something saltwater rated when all the other ones are saltwater rated already, and they don't really have any issues. It's just me. Don't kill the messenger. Just you know, saying how I feel. But another commenter said that, well done, one I have not seen a comparison on is the Backwater. A side-by-side comparison of that one and the Beaver Dam would be awesome. That is probably something I will never do, is compare the Thailand-style longtails to any of the American-style longtails. And here's why. Thailand, or the Thai-style longtails, have one purpose here in America. They're the cheapest way to get you on the water, and they're the cheapest way to get you into a mud motor. They're not fancy. There's not a lot of bells and whistles. They just kind of are what they are, and I like that. The American-style longtails, like your Go Devil, your Backwaters, and things like that, not only are they designed different, they're designed 10 times more beefier. They are like the tanks of the mud motor world. The price that you pay for them is significantly higher than you're going to pay for one of the cheap, you know, import Thailand style kits, but they operate differently as well. So it's really not fair for either one of them to be compared against each other, because they serve two totally different purposes and two totally different functions. Now, I do want to do a video review on the Backwater at some point. I'm planning on purchasing one. Like me, I love the Backwater. I've seen a few of them in person, and I've been on one boat with one before. And if money was no object, that's what I would run on my boat, is the Backwater. Probably have a Backwater 40 right now with a whole bunch of mods to it, and I would be super, super happy. It's a great motor. It's very, very well built. Jake up there at Backwater spent a ton of time, you know, developing that product. Their customer service is awesome. I've called and talked to them before. I almost pulled the trigger and bought one at one point, but I was like, yeah, I'm going to hold off for a little bit, because it was expensive. You know, they're not cheap, but when it comes to an American longtail versus a Thai style longtail, you really get what you pay for. With that being said, I've never really had any problem out of my Thai style longtails. The cheap mud motor, you know, longtail kits have worked great for me. I like them. They fit my budget. Yes, they can be a pain to drive sometimes. They're not great for super, super long distances, but they do everything that I need to within my budget. And when I had to buy three of these things, you know, that was expensive. So I couldn't imagine going and buying like a Go Devil and a Backwater and whatever else is out there on the market that I probably don't even know about, and reviewing all of them together. Now, if you want to give me some, I will gladly take them if they're interested, but I'm not out here begging for review stuff. I would gladly buy one. It's going to come at some point, but definitely not going to do a side-by-side comparison of the two. It's just not fair to either one of them. another commenter said, well done. Note, I would never use a stainless steel prop with these kits, especially with Predator engines. Let the key and propeller aluminum take the force of an impact. And that was what I originally thought, too, until I went and did the stainless steel test. I bought a, I think it was from Mudskipper, but I bought a stainless steel prop from Mudskipper, and I tested it out. I tried cutting cinder blocks in half. I cut a cooler in half. I ran it in dirt and rocks and buried it and did everything I could to try to destroy it. And my thought going into that review was I was going to break the motor. Like, I had every intention of doing that. I knew I was going to have to get a new motor or at least buy a new crankshaft or something. But I was extremely impressed that the motor held up to it just fine. Now, I was doing this on, I think it was a 420 Predator is what I tested it on. Don't see that being an issue because I did the exact same thing with the clutch video. If you haven't seen that one, I'll try to leave a link if you're watching this on YouTube. But I tested out the Mudskipper clutch, and I buried in a stainless steel prop in a bunch of junk, and the clutch, you know, it got really, really hot, but never burned up the clutch, and also never broke the prop. I did break an aluminum prop in that video, but I never broke the stainless prop. So it's one of those things you would think that with long tail design being the way that it is, the aluminum prop is the weak point. It's made to be like a shear pin on a standard outboard. You break a prop, it's like $6 or $8. You replace the prop and, you know, you go on about your happy little life. But when you switch to a stainless, the stainless is now probably one of the strongest parts of the kit. And you would think that the shaft would break or the keyway would give way at some point, but mine never did. Now, I didn't test this on all three mud motor kits. I only tested it on my Beaver Dam because I just wanted to see how it would do, since that's the mud motor that I ran. It didn't skip a beat. The stainless steel prop held up really, really well. And the kit itself, the shaft, you know, the motor, everything. I had no complaints out of it whatsoever. So not saying that it couldn't happen, but my personal experience and the testing that I've done, haven't broken a shaft or anything else yet. And I have exclusively run Predator motors up to this point. I've never ran anything else except for Predator motors. So another commenter asks, can you sit down and drive it? Being 65 with bad knees, I don't have the best balance when I'm sober. I'd be wet in no time. Thank you. Keep up the great videos. So yes, you can. I say can very, very likely. You can sit down and drive these. I don't recommend it though, because you are neutral. You have to push down on that handle and get the prop out of the water to stop the boat. If not, you leave the prop in the water. It's a direct drive, so it's always going to be going. Most of these kits came with some kind of bent style handle that was made for standing up. You have a lot more or easier time pushing down on a handle and getting that prop out of the water when you're standing up. Now, with that being said, you can do it sitting down. It might take a little bit more effort. They're not always the easiest to drive sitting down, but it can be done. The big thing that I really focus on is being able to turn quickly and being able to pull a prop out of the water. Those for me personally are easier to do standing up than they are sitting down, but you can sit down and you can adjust some of those handles. You can kind of like rotate them, you know, a little bit more towards you or a little bit away from you so that it's a little more comfortable while you're sitting down. Not sure that I would 100% recommend it for everybody, but it can be done. I mean, hell, the kids in Thailand do it on those little two-stroke motors, and they're like in flip-flops, you know, kneeled down on the floor of their boats running, you know, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour, which, for the record, I want to do at some point. I just got to get a hold of a racing shaft and racing props so that I can try that out. But yeah, at some point we're going to do that because I want to go really, really fast with a long tail. Another commenter said that they had bought a Mudskipper kit for a 212 Predator, the 6.5 horsepower Predator, back in 2013, and it lasted around 5 years. They used it in brackish water and it performed really well. It does work in salt water. Finally, the wood bushings inside used for the drive shaft wore out, and the screw that held in the wood bushings cut the hollow drive shaft in half. Now, I would like to buy a kit with a stainless steel drive shaft, but it appears Swamp Runner is the only one that offers that. If Mudskipper sold a kit with a stainless steel drive shaft, I would get that because they are cheap. It would be really cool if someone would cross-section the shaft so we can see what new designs have in them for bushings and see if the drive shaft is hollow. I would absolutely love to do a video review on something like that. Problem is, only 2 out of 3 companies would I be able to reach out and get a new shaft from if I cut them down the middle to see what the inside of it was. I know I can buy another Beaver Dam shaft, and I know I can buy another Mudskipper shaft. The Swamp Runner, I couldn't do. That's the thing. It's like, I still have all three of these kits. Like, they're still here at the shop with me, and I can use them, you know, whenever I want. I didn't destroy any of them. I would love to be able to cut one open and see what the inside of them look like, but I don't want to destroy a perfectly good mud motor. I they got. I don't know if money were no object, I would probably do that at some point. But he brings up a great point about the wood bushings. It is common practice in Thailand for them to use wood bushings in their drive shafts, just how they do it. And I hear some, you know, I don't know if these are all credible stories, but I hear some bad stories about them. I hear a lot of people run them for years and years and never have any problem. With that being said, the only one I know for sure that does not have wood bushings in it is the Beaver Dam, because I actually did take one of those apart. It has Delrin bushings in it, and I like that. I'm not saying that the people in Thailand don't know what they're doing making wood bushings, but to me, it just doesn't seem like the greatest idea in the whole world for longevity. So another reason why I chose to stick with Beaver Dams, because I know they have Delrin bushings inside of them and not wood. Now, you can make the argument that Delrin is plastic, and plastic probably won't last as long as wood, but to me, they're kind of the same. I just feel a little bit better with the Delrin bushings because I haven't heard as many negative things about it. You know, that's one thing about the internet is if something is bad or poorly designed, you're going to hear a whole lot about it because people love to go on the internet and whine and complain and moan and groan. And I think that's why that there's so much negativity out there about the wood bushings, not because they're actually bad. You're working with wood, it's a natural product, and not every single bushing that they make is going to be great quality. Sometimes they're going to have, you know, little knots or splits or things in them that you don't see during the manufacturing process. And then later on down the road, they split or, you know, they get dried out or whatever. I'm sure something can happen. But you don't see that with Delrin bushings, which is why you don't hear as much negative stuff about those style bushings. But you do hear a lot of it about the wood bushings because they're the only ones that probably go bad. Now, the Mudskipper does have a nylon bushing at the end of it. And then the Beaver Dam was brass. I don't remember what the Swamp Runner had. I want to say it was some kind of polymer Delrin something or another. But then you had to buy like the Bayou bushing, which was supposed to be the more higher quality one, which again, why not just include that in your kit like everybody else does? And I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. Another commenter said a couple of things I noticed that you didn't mention in the review is that SPS has a gimbal bearing at the pivot points where the others do not. That is true. And I didn't mention that in the review. I just forgot about it at the time. I did cover like 500 different points of the differences between all of these. So just one thing I forgot, not because I was trying to hate on Swamp Runner. I don't want anybody to think that. But he said that it makes a big difference in time, how smooth it will operate, which I have found to not really be true. The area that those bushings are in, where he's talking about on the mounting bracket for the motor itself and where it tilts up and down, you put axle grease or sometimes really heavy duty marine grease in there when you first get it and you apply it every couple of years, it doesn't really make a difference. As long as you take care of it, it's going to be fine. It's just easier on the Swamp Runner to take care of it because it has those Zerk fittings where you can just plug a grease gun in and it goes squirt squirt and you're done. The other two did not have that. And for me personally, what I use is that the spray red and tacky lube, and it works fine and it's lasted me a couple of years, and I'll put it on every 2 to 3 years, and it doesn't affect how smooth any of the other two operate. They're still out there running around. And he also mentioned that the throttle cable on the SPS is supposedly stainless steel where the others are not. I can tell you 100% that is not true because I have had all three of those mud motors sitting out in the elements for years. They're all out behind the shop right now, and none of them have a rusted throttle cable right now. So I'm not confirming that they're stainless steel, but I can tell you that none of them are not stainless, because if they were, they would have been rusted by now, and they're not. They all operate just fine. Another comment was, what speeds do you get at idle? I've also seen them with the shorter S-shaped prop shafts. What benefit or disadvantages those shafts have compared to the long shaft? On these particular motors that I was running on my 1648 John Boat, all of them were the 420 Predator, and I was running anywhere between like an 8, 8.5 inch prop, somewhere in that range. Typically, I'm seeing my idle with it just in the water, me by myself in the boat, somewhere around 4 to 6 miles an hour, really depending on which way the wind was blowing and which direction the current was going. If I was going against current, sometimes in that 4 to 5 mile an hour range, and going with the current, I could get up to 6. So that's a really good question. I should have mentioned that in the video, but there is no like super low idle. I have tried turning the idle down on the motor to get like a trolling type speed, like at 1 or 2 miles an hour, and it is not happening. Unless you go to a teeny tiny little prop, maybe that would lower the idle speed down some, but typically between 4 and 6 is about where I idle at. The other thing is asking about the S-shaped props, talking about the Twister and the benefits and disadvantages. That I don't 100% know personally because I haven't tested it yet. We are going to be doing the Twister review coming up soon, and I will be sure to report any differences or advantages, disadvantages that Twister has over the long tails. So another really good question was, what had to be dialed in on the kit? So I talked about it in the video a little bit, having to dial them in and work with them a little bit to get them to run correctly. I'm going to do a full video review on this, or a full like kind of video tutorial on how to dial in a mud motor coming up very soon. But essentially, the very first thing I do is try to get the weight balance just right. With all of those kits, they have several different mounting options for how far back the motor goes or how far forward the motor goes. Typically, I'm in the very furthest back hole on just about all the kits that I put together, if not in the middle or somewhere towards the back. I like to have as much weight on the tail, you know, on the prop end of the long tail as I possibly can. There's some advantages and disadvantages to that, and I'll go over those really quickly. The advantage is when you have more weight on the prop, it becomes a lot easier to drive in most instances, especially with turning, and you don't have to fight the prop keeping it down in the water as much. The big disadvantage to having more weight on the tail is when you go to push down on that handle to pull the prop out of the water and act as your neutral, it gets a little bit heavier, and holding it for a long time can be kind of a pain. There's an easy way to, you know, circumvent that. It's just make you a rope that attaches somewhere in the bottom of your boat that's the right length to where you can hook it onto your handle and it'll hold the tail up out of the water. That's what I do on my boat. I just have an old, I think it's a green, like a ratchet strap that I broke the ratchet on. So I just use the strap with the hook on it, and I hook it around the handle of my mud motor, and I have it tied off to where it's exactly the length that I need it to be to hold my prop up out of the water. So that's kind of how I get around it. I see a lot of people complaining about the props popping out of the water. So the number two thing I do is I usually always bend the skeg, which is a little metal piece that comes out underneath the prop. I usually always bend it in the direction that the prop wants to prop out of the water. So if you're watching this on YouTube, this will be really easy to understand. But if I'm facing the front of the boat, 9 times out of 10, the prop is wanting to pop out on the port side. It rides up the wake and it'll want to pop out on the port side. So what you do is you look at the prop from the back of the boat, and you will bend the prop to the port side of the boat. You don't have to bend it a lot. You can just take a pair of channel locks or something and just kind of bend it, you know, a quarter to a half inch, and go test it and see where it runs at. What you're doing is you're changing the direction of the skeg so that it wants to ride in the center of the wake and not ride up the wake and pop up out of the water. That's the number two thing that I do. And then third is mostly dealing with just figuring out which prop size the motor likes best. And in order to do that, you need a tachometer. One of those cheap little tiny tacks that you wrap the tack wire around your spark plug will read your RPMs and let you know if you're running at, you know, the motor's peak. And one of the biggest mistakes that I see in all the mud motor groups and people that I talk to is, well, my motor's not going very fast, I need a bigger prop. No, that is usually the exact opposite of what you need to do. You need to go smaller. And the only way you're really going to be able to tell is if you get a tack. So if you're running a stock, let's just say a Predator 420, and the RPM range is up to 3,600 RPMs. You want your motor at wide open throttle to be running as close to 3,600 RPMs as possible. So let's just say you're running an 8-inch prop and you're only getting, you know, like 3,200 RPMs and you're not able to get that 3,600 RPMs. Most people will say, oh, I need a bigger prop so that I can, you know, get more speed. That is the exact opposite of what you need to do. You actually need to go down in prop size so that you can have less contact with water and spend more RPMs to get that motor up to its max operating RPM range. And it changes based on how much weight is in the boat, depending on the size of your boat. Like my 1648 drops significantly in speed when I put a second person in the boat. So with my big, like my Predator 22 horse, the 670, I can get 20 miles an hour in really shallow water by myself. And I'm running like an 8.5-inch prop. But if I put a second person in the boat, I drop down to about 15 to 16 miles an hour with that exact same prop. To keep those speeds up, I have to drop an entire prop size, not a half. So I go from an 8.5 down to like a 7.5 or a 7 to get me up to that 19, 20 mile an hour range. And sometimes it still won't even get that fast. So playing around with prop sizes is one of those things that I like to do to figure out where I need to run my props at, depending on how much weight that I have in the boat. So I just kind of know mentally in the back of my head, like say, hey, I'm going out fishing today by myself. I can throw an 8-inch prop on there and get, you know, the amount of speed that I need or the amount of RPMs that I need to achieve the speed that I want. But if I got a buddy going with me, I know that before I get out on the water, I need to change my props out and go to a smaller prop size. And then the last thing that I kind of fiddle with to get these motors running right is carburetor tuning. And I just did a video on that not too long ago. These cheap Harbor Freight Predator, you know, clone style motors, the carbs on them are so restrictive from all the EPA regulations. They really need to be opened up and worked a little bit. And I have a whole like hour long video that explains exactly the process that I go through to get those running pretty good. But that's kind of in a nutshell, all the things that I do to make a long tail run right for me. So another commenter said, I'm getting the 670 Predator for my boat. I also have the 1648 John. I'm between a Beaver Dam and Mud Skipper. Does Beaver Dam have a top mount cavitation plate? I know these little trim plates on the sides are supposed to do the same thing, but I like the top mount. Not sure which to do, only because I don't plan on keeping the motor forever. Blah, 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 blah. Said a bunch of other stuff. So there's a big misconception that long tails need cavitation plates, and they don't. That is 100% false. The cavitation plates are popular because you see them on surface drives, and the surface drives really don't always need them. It's more of a splash guard than anything. Backwater kit runs one, but it's actually like it's a very important part of the backwater long tail is that, and they call it the surface tracer cavitation plate, and it actually does perform a function on that particular motor. On the tie style motors, I have bought bolt-on cavitation plates for them, and I lost speed every single time. They didn't do nothing. And I'll tell you, one of the anytime you think of doing like some kind of crazy mod or tweaking something on a mud motor, go look at what they do in Thailand. If there was something that made a motor faster or run better, the people in Thailand would be doing it. And if you go watch all their racing videos, even their big boats that they're running those giant like V8 diesel engines and stuff on, you never see a cavitation plate on a long tail. It's because they don't work. Skip the cavitation plate. Don't waste your money. I've done it. I wish I would have done a video review on it, but it did absolutely nothing, and I lost a mile an hour of speed. So don't waste your money or time on that. Another commenter said, love the side-by-side. Wish you would put these on a bigger boat. I'm interested to know how they push a 16-footer. Well, I guess he wasn't paying attention during the video, because my boat is a 1648, and with the pods on it and the front bumper, it's actually more like 18-foot long by 48. So it's a pretty big boat. Now, we'll say, speaking of boat sizes, the reason I brought this comment up is because there's a couple of things about long tails that people don't always realize, because the information is just not out there for people to see, and people just don't put them on very big boats, and then you never really understand why. The boat length does not matter as much as the boat width when it comes to long tails. About a 48 to 52 is the widest boat I would ever put one of these tie style long tail kits on and expect it to get good performance out of it. The reason is because the wider your boat is, the wider your wake is going to be. And the wake coming off of the side of the boat and meeting in the middle and putting that prop right in the middle of that wake where the crest of those two wakes meet is one of the things that helps you get the speeds, because you're recycling water that's already being pushed together and into a point. You got to think, they don't operate like an outboard does. They're not crazy high RPMs, turning big props and a lot of power. These are very, very, like, these are lawnmower engines or the pressure washer motors. They're not really high horsepower. Anything you can do to make them go faster only helps. And having that wake meet right in the middle and putting your prop right there in the middle, You're using water that's already moving and turning a prop against it gets you more speed. Now, not a ton of speed. You're talking like a mile an hour or more. So the width is the most important part. The skinnier, the better. The skinnier your boat is, the better it's going to perform. That's why, again, if you go look at Thailand-style racing boats and even some of their big like boats that they transport rice and stuff on, those boats are very, very narrow. They don't care how long they are. They can be 30, 40 foot long. They don't care. It's the width that really matters. But you go look at their racing boats, they're all no bigger than a surfboard. They're just like a skateboard with a motor strap to the back of it. And there's a reason for that. It's because they run better and they run more efficiently, and you gain more speed on a skinnier, narrower boat than you do on a bigger, wider boat. The other thing is weight. The long tail mud motors are great for pushing weight. They're, you know, most of these motors are real low RPM, so they're high torque, and they can push a lot of weight. There's nothing wrong with that. It just doesn't do it at a really high speed or very efficiently. So the bigger boat means you can put more crap in it, which is what people do. They put more crap in a bigger boat, and it weighs more, and you just won't get as much speed out of it as you will with a narrower, lighter boat. The other thing that people don't really realize is transoms. The height of your transom makes a huge difference in the performance that your long tail mud motor is going to get. Again, going back to Thailand, where these things were invented at and where they're run every day for commercial fishing boats, transportation boats, and for racing. If you go look at those boats, most of the time the motors are mounted either on the floor of the boat or just off the floor of the boat. Very rarely do you see them mounted to an actual transom like we have in John boats here in the U.S. And I have tested this personally on 16-inch transoms, 20 and 21-inch transoms, and the angle that the prop enters the water makes a huge difference in, one, how they steer, and two, how much speed you get. I've taken my motor, the 670 Predator that I run on my long tail on my 16-foot boat, which has a 16-inch transom. I'm taking that exact same motor and put it on another 1648 that had a 20-inch transom, and I lost 2 miles an hour because of the angle that the prop enters the water. If you have the option, when you're on a budget, I get it. You go with what you got. If you got a 20-inch transom or a 21-inch transom boat, roll with it. It is what it is. You're just going to get what you're going to get out of it. But if you have the option to either get your transom cut down or go with a shorter transom boat from the get-go, you'll get better performance, speed, and steering out of a long tail than you would if you were to have a higher transom boat. One of the videos that I want to do at some point, I just got to figure out the best way to go about this, but I want to do a comparison of transom heights and speed. I don't know directly how much speed I can gain by going lower than 16 inches, which is our pretty traditional short shaft, which is a pretty traditional in America. The shortest John boat transom you're going to see is about 16 inches. So I'm very curious to see going below 16 inches if it would gain any speed or if it would have any great advantages or anything like that. But that's something I've been kind of kicking around in the back of my head about doing a comparison review on at some point, because I would love to build at some point in my life, I would love to build a Thailand style racing boat that I could put one of those, two-stroke motors on with a long tail and run, maybe 900 miles an hour with. And I've watched a ton of videos and looked at a lot of pictures and stuff of their racing boats over there, and almost every single one of them, the motor's mounted to the floor. Like, it is on the floor of the boat, and there is no transom. There's just, like, this little trim piece that basically goes up the back and, like, this little extended, almost like a platform, I guess, for the tail to sit on when they're not using it. But, I mean, they literally mount those things on the floor of the boat, and they have no transom, so I can only imagine that it does affect it going lower than 16 inches, but until I try it and do a video on it, we won't really know for sure. The last comment I want to go over is about shaft lengths. They said that, they noticed that you get 65-inch shafts, 85-inch shafts, and 100-inch shafts, which is better. Now, Mudskipper actually makes one that's even longer than 100 inches. I think they got one that's like 110 or 120, something insane. Here's what's important for people to remember about picking a shaft size for your long tail if you're going to go this route. The taller your transom, the more length you need on your shaft in order to get the best angle possible of the prop entering the water so that you can get the best speed out of it. The longer shaft, in my opinion, is always going to be the best bet for not only speed, but for steering. Something about the angle of the prop on an 85-inch shaft versus a 100-inch shaft, where it's just a little bit further away from the boat, seems to steer a lot easier for me. Now, you do have to watch out, because if you're in a tight space, like a tight creek or something, and you're trying to do a turnaround, doing it with a 100-inch shaft can kind of be a pain in the butt. So if that's where you fish and you hunt and you spend a lot of time in teeny tiny little creeks, you may have to give up that extra speed or comfort that you get from having a longer, like 100-inch shaft, and go with something shorter like an 85 or a 65. But just know what you're getting into. If you're going to be making long runs for 20, 30, 45 minutes, and you're going to be on the handle a lot, it might be better off going a little bit longer of a shaft, something like an 85 or 100, because they're a little bit more comfortable to drive. Just in my opinion, something that you might need to test out. The great thing is the shafts are not crazy expensive. So if you did buy an 85 and you found that maybe your transom was too tall, or it just wasn't comfortable for your boat, or you didn't like the way that it rode, or you want to try to get another mile an hour or two out of it, Mudskipper and Beaver Dam, you can just go buy a 100-inch shaft. And they're like $100 or something like that, a couple $100 by the time you pay for shipping. So it's not a huge break of the bank to try out a different, longer shaft or a shorter shaft. And I recommend that you do it, because I tried out both on my boat. Me personally, on my 1648, it for me, runs better with 100-inch shaft, so that's what I always run on my boat is 100-inch shaft. If you have any questions about long-tail mud motors or just mud motors in general or something that you'd like me to cover in a future podcast, make sure that you leave me a comment if you're watching this on YouTube. My email address is there as well. If anybody has any questions they want to ask me, I try to get to my emails as best I can. If you're watching on like Apple or Google Podcast or whatever, you want to, you know, go look up my email address, you can do that. Don't forget to check out our wonderful channel sponsors, our podcast sponsor, Twitch Pause. I've got links down in the description and show notes for you to check out all of our wonderful sponsors. And I appreciate each and every one of those sponsors. And I encourage you to go spend money with them. They're all good companies. And they're nice enough to give me a discount code to offer to you guys so that you can go and purchase their stuff with a little bit of a discount. I hope that you enjoyed the podcast, and I hope to see you on the next one.